There we go. We start with a laugh because I'd forgotten I was hosting, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the well-prepared Gaming Blender, where I completely forgot that I was meant to be hosting and had this moment of staring at Scott going, you? And he stared back at me going, you?
It's not my line.
It's my line. Whose line is it? I mean, there's a very side, but anyway, this is the Gaming Blender, by the way. I'm Matt, and this welcome. Is Scott. But just to throw it a very, very funny sidebar of before I jump into the thing of when I watched a school play that we weren't in, but we were watching it because it was some of our friends were in it. And one of my favorite moments of all time on stage happened where two people forgot their lines and stood on stage, realized they'd forgotten their lines, were surrounded by the rest of the cast and went, Mr. Danforth, I believe we should discuss this matter in private. Yes, we should. And walked off stage to then go and read the script to see where they were up to, leaving the entire rest of the cast on stage, sat still going. And this happened for about 10 minutes before someone went, we require your presence, Mr. Danforth, before the shout from behind the curtain was, just a minute!
So I remember being in, not to sidebar too much, but I remember acting in a certain play where they kept changing between diner scenes. It was like one table at a restaurant and then another table at a restaurant.
Yeah.
And me and the girl Kat, who was playing my wife, when it was the silent moments for us, we would like whisper to each other, am I saying about the lobster next? And she would go, yes, yes. And I'm like, okay, good. And we'd act it out as though it was like polite dinner conversation. Actually, we were just asking what our next lines were.
What's the line? Line, please.
It worked very well. But anyway, yes, welcome to the Gaming Blender.
Welcome to the Gaming Blender. This is a podcast where we make hypothetical video games every episode, where we will mesh together a wonderful genre with some mechanics and create whatever our beautiful minds can export out the other side. And hopefully we won't forget our lines. Scott, you're with me. You're here. You're looking forward to this. We've made some good games of late. Are you excited?
I'm always excited to make hypothetical video games that hopefully at some point someone will make.
Someone will hear them one day. I would like to give a little shout out for the person who left a 5-star review on our podcast, on Apple's podcast. I would like to give him a shout out, particularly because it's my favorite review ever, because this gentleman wrote, and again, thank you very much for the 5-star review, but the review did say, thank you, I have an idea. How about you cover my game?
I did see the review.
To be fair, if you have made the game, 100%, we will chat about it. We're more than happy because I believe some other people had been making games and were messaged in saying they were making some games. So again, if you make games and you want us to chat about them and say where you talk about ideas, feel free, send them in. But
please do.
Yeah, or leave 5-star reviews and make the request because everybody wins then. That's excellent.
This is true. Everybody does win.
But this is your week of leading, Scott. You are leading this particular creative chariot charge into the unknown territory of Gameville. How are you feeling?
Panicky noises. Yes, we'll see how it goes. I think dating sim. I'm feeling dating sim is gonna.
Well, I've already done the draw. I know what it is, and I will never forgive myself for leaving dating sim on there. I really struggled when it came up, and it wasn't appropriate. We lost a lot of listeners. People not left in their droves. They stormed out.
Not appropriate. No, please. I am prepared for whatever there is to come. I think
that was said very seriously. Do you want to jump straight in? I feel like this is the vibe. We're jumping straight in. We're going straight in. We're playing with it.
Normally we preamble about nonsense, but let's jump straight in.
This time we just told a story that no one would care about, and now we're jumping straight in. So what a way to mix it up. Anyway, so we shall jump straight in. What I have done is I've drawn one genre from a randomized pool. I have then drawn out of another randomized pool two more mechanics, which we're going to mesh together with the genre. Now, Scott's going to lead, and he's going to try and put together a rough game based on these mechanics before I add a narrative in to just screw him over. So, Scott. Do you want it all at once, or do you want genre followed by mechanics? Do you want me to drip feed, or do you want a full-on tsunami of pain?
Do drip feed so my creative juices can start flowing.
Your creative juices, sir, are exactly the same as most Ubisoft employees, because you have got open-world sandbox as your genre.
Okay. Doesn't really help the creative juices.
Doesn't really give you much to go on, does it? It is Planet Generica, that.
Mm-hmm.
So... do you want your mechanics or use it? The creative juices boiling away, and they just.
I'm just going to start. No, I would like to.
Just going to start. I'm going to start and hope that everything goes well. Right. So for your mechanics, you have a physics-based game. So by physics-based game, I mean a game that is reliant on physics in order. Quite often, this is done in puzzle solving. Good examples include Half-Life 2, which has the gravity gun, and quite often there'll be one particular favorite of mine is A Human Fall Flat, which you can find on the PlayStation Store, which is just you flailing around as a sort of floppy human, and it relies quite heavily on physics base. And the other one you've got is crafting. So that leaves you with an open world physics-based crafting game. Crafting where you put together, you just essentially, it's building roughly, he says as he drops his pen out of excitement.
Okay.
It's quite open-ended, and I feel like this is one of the ones where we need to set ourselves a challenge to make sure we are as different as possible.
So I have a sort of idea. Okay. So as an aside, you know, you have a lot of people who claim that, you know, the pyramids were built by the aliens and all this sort of stuff. And oh, how do they possibly do that?
And I'd like to stop you there and ask, where is this going?
Just bear with me. Okay. And people have a sort of what's the word? A sort of a misunderstanding of maybe how intelligent, you know, people were in the past, and how that with physics you can overcome such.
Obstacle. Oh, I see. It's this thing.
You see where I'm going.
I had this conversation with someone while they were cutting my hair. Well, and I never had my hair cut again there because it scared me quite a lot.
Yeah. But anyway, so crafting and physics obviously go together quite well, especially if you think about building, and especially if you think about building where you're not in the modern age, where you're not being helped by, you're not being helped by computers, you're not being helped by you know, fancy electronics or anything like that. You are reliant on your ability to navigate the laws of physics.
I think I know where you're going with this, and I like it.
So what I'm thinking is that potentially you could have a game that could be set. You could set it anywhere really in human history, as long as it's not within probably the modern era. Okay, where you play essentially not like a builder, but like almost like a how to put it?
Architect?
Yeah, like an architect, right, or a mason, or do you know what I mean? Like someone whose job is to build grand structures or to build difficult things that require, you know, you're not building a mud hut. You know, you could have a lord could ask you to come and build an aqueduct, or, you know, the king could say, I need a new castle. I need you to build it. And actually what it comes down to is you having to work out and at the early stage of the game, it can be like trial and error, working out how you build stuff with very, very basic, not just basic materials, but also like basic machinery, you know, basic sort of techniques.
I'd like to push this idea even further. I really like this idea. I feel like you should be in a world where you are, that it could be like even a hypothetical world where you are literally instructed to build the hardest things that humans have had to build, and you are surrounded. Oh. You have to go and gather up all your materials. All the materials you need are in this world, and you have to, that's where the open world thing comes out, and you go out and you get the building blocks literally, and they say build the pyramids, and you have to literally overcome the problems that they had. And unless you Google the limitation, and the game gives you the limitations. So if you're building the pyramids, you're like, literally, you have to be able to get the rocks up.
Mm.
And it just kind of leaves you. So it's a bit of an educational game in the sense of you have to understand how these things are put together. Obviously, if you're asked to build a skyscraper, you're not going to be held up massively on the electronics, or they're not going to say, well, you built it really well, but you didn't nail the plumbing.
Yeah.
It's going to be a just generic, can you make the shape? And that's where the physics base comes in. So you literally, it's trial and error, go, oh, that's not how they did it. And then that would be quite fun, I think. In terms, it would be quite small scale, ironically, because I think. Have you ever seen Did you ever remember the game show, classic British game show called Scrappy Challenge?
Yes.
Yeah. This is the kind of world I imagine yourself in, where you are based in this world that's surrounded by parts, and you have to go and gather up the relevant parts and work out what goes with what. I mean, like an early example, because everyone knows how the pyramids are put together. They're block, block, block. But that would like be an early one, and then you'd advance and you'd get more and more complex structures and start to be having to build them. And you'd have to go out and get the resources. I feel like that'd be quite interesting.
And I think you could, let's say you take the example of the pyramids. It's the right, okay, so we've built this bit, but now we're further into the structure. You know, the pyramid is starting to take shape. How do you get the blocks from what is now the bottom of the pyramid to what is now the middle of the pyramid?
And these are the exact challenges that they face. And also you could start throwing in the seven wonders of the world and stuff like the Colossus of Rhodes. You could throw that in.
No idea how I did that.
How do you gamify it though? I like the idea and it feels very sandboxy. I don't know how much of a game it feels like. Do you know what I mean?
I think you'd need to sort of lead it into the open world element of it, in that I think the players would need to have a choice about where they went and what sort of building they pursued, in that perhaps you make it that there are a variety of different avenues that you can pursue. So let's take the example of the seven wonders of the world. The skills you require to build the pyramids is probably different to the skills you require to build the Colossus of Rhodes, because one is made of metal and the other is made of stone.
Yeah. So, and we're also going to skirt around the whole slavery thing, are we, for the pyramids?
We'll say that. Well, I mean, you could make it authentic, and you could say, "Sir, you'll have 50,000 slaves."
I think it's best.
Or you could say,
around.
"Don't worry, they're all getting minimum wage." I don't know. I'm not the ethical manager of this.
We're not with it. I see the world. I also see the world maybe somehow as. Did you ever play Lord of the Rings Lego?
Yes.
Do you remember the way that they set out that map? It was like a miniaturized version of Middle Earth. So you could get everywhere in like 10 minutes.
Yes.
Yeah. That's the way I kind of see this. And then maybe it is like a global map, but you could walk through like the UK in a couple of minutes kind of thing.
Yeah. And you could go and, okay. The ancient Celts want you to build Stonehenge.
Yes.
But they want
you could make it quite funny.
But they want the stone to come from Wales. And you're like, but Wales is all the way over there. We're here.
Wales is there. We're here. I've read the contract.
Yes. So I think you do it like that. I think you maybe divide it into sort of streams of sort of like types of construction, perhaps, maybe, and then people can start getting good at one particular type. And then just let's say, for example, in the case of the pyramids, there are loads of different types of pyramids all around the world, and you get the ziggurats in places like Cambodia and Central America. And, you know, perhaps you branch out and you learn about new ways to build.
Maybe
these
that's
structures.
It. That's the really exciting thing. You can gamify it by simplifying it. What you can do is you can sort of move forward modern inventions. Like if you help the Egyptians give you this building technique that is only found out later in the Egyptians' existence, then you move on to this next bit and you end up building, and that's how you get, essentially, it's a bit of an RPG system almost built into it, so you learn things.
I'm not sure how you'd work it sort of like historically in the game, like your character lives for 1,000 years and is able to travel the world.
I feel like we can work that in with the plot. I like the idea. I mean, if I was to write the plot now,
yes,
at this early stage, I would write it and say that your character is essentially a god, and he is a god of construction, and he just flirts in between. But the irony being is maybe he's the son of one of the gods, so he's actually going, I'm the god of construction. How do I do this? I don't actually know. So he goes down to Earth to work out what he's the god of, and he's like, oh, so that connects to, oh, sorry, yeah. And they're like building it, going, we praise the god of construction, and go, yeah, we do. He's great. Oh, dear.
Yeah, so maybe said God become... I mean, we don't have the narrative yet, so it might not work. But maybe said God, at the age of 16, is granted a...
It's a gap year. It's a gap year.
You know, or like, this is your... You know, you get given your niche as a god at the age of 16.
Oh,
like,
I see.
Like, come on, war. Come on, war. And then he's like, construction. He's like...
Oh, no. You gave construction to Barry?
Yeah.
Barry got lost in IKEA.
Yeah. I think you could have a good tongue-in-cheek time of that.
That would be quite funny or quite entertaining. And then you could just start building, and then you could make education how... So you got the RPG elements of learning for different building techniques and stuff. How do you make this more replayable? Do you come back? Because it does feel like once you've completed it, there's nothing else. I suppose there's DLC. You can add on new buildings and stuff, but you've already gone so far in the future, you'd have to like restart. I don't know. I
mean, as this is a game produced by us, it would be free LC, of course, because, you know.
Free LC, yes, free LC.
It would be free
LC. You do realize it that's FDLC.
Yes.
Because D stands for downloadable. I don't know what free LC stands for. Sure.
FLC.
Free loadable content.
I don't know what your problem is. All I'm saying is that people get it for free, and you're jumping.
Have you heard of free LC? No, I haven't heard of free LC because it's gibberish. That's why.
It is. This isn't. You're not wrong. but I think that could be quite fun. I think. I mean, I would probably. I'd probably find.
I think it'd be interesting. It reminds me a lot of Lego games. There's a Lego Worlds, I think, at the moment where you can go around. You literally build. It's like you build a bridge and your character has to walk across it, and then if it collapses, it collapses. I like the idea of you having to build. Oh, it'd be really funny if you built Alexandria and you didn't know what happened to it. And you went, what do you mean it's on fire? I was looking after it.
I mean, if you make it quite hard in the sense that you don't get warnings if it's about to collapse, like,
oh yeah, I know. I feel like it's one of those ones where you can watch it and you can go, all of my hard work down the drain. You could spend hours on it.
So let's say if you're doing the Colossus of Rhodes, it's got this sort of this like almost like a skeleton underneath to sort of hold it up, this sort of metal understructure that keeps it up, and you sort of think, yeah, that'll do. And then they're putting like the shoulders on, and then the whole thing just goes, and all falls over. You're like, no.
Or you get the person who commissioned it standing next to you go, I don't, it looks nothing like Steven. Start again.
Yeah.
So you get to the top and it's the Cristiano Ronaldo face at the top.
That was bad, wasn't it? but yeah, I think you could have a good, I think you have a good time.
I think you're good. You release new bits, and maybe the way you do it, the way that Dark Souls and the Elden, it sounds like a tangent. This does make sense. The way that
I went off on a tangent earlier, you jumped on me and were like, oh, where are you going with this? So I'm going to go, Matthew, where are you going with this?
I'll tell you where I'm going with this. So in Dark Souls and DLC, they're very specific about the way you get access to the DLC. So if we get our way and we are a god, maybe you say that if you unlock a certain buildings, you have to rewind to a certain point in time. So if you were adding extra buildings, you're like, okay, well, this is built in the 1500s. X wasn't available yet. So you have to go with, I mean, you could make it, you could actually, this is quite a fun way of doing it. You could, there is the narrative mode where you go through and you work your way through, but there's also free play where you can take any building, but with all of the tools you've used. So it'd be quite funny coming back to the pyramids with all of the 21st century technology and seeing how much quicker you could do it.
Yeah.
Because it might be a case you're like, oh, it'll be so much easier. And you go back and go, actually, this is potentially even harder.
Yeah. It's actually more complicated than it needs to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I like the idea of a free play.
Should we try and shoehorn in what will probably be a ruining narrative?
Yeah. One final thing. I think there should be time trials. How quick can you build things?
Yes.
So you can have online leaderboards. Like Kevin built the pyramids in 24 seconds.
I mean, I would love to meet Kevin if that.
Kevin's incredible. Kevin was kicked out the Lego shop in London because he just built everything. He just was unboxing it, building it. Yes, let's try and crowbar the narrative in. So what would you not want, do you think, narrative-wise?
Forbidden love.
Oh, come on, you can make that work with gods. He's always trying to impress a lady love in the sky by building things to her as tribute. And her name was Rhodes. I built her a colossus.
Yeah, the riddle probably wouldn't work. I don't know. I don't know.
So what
I'm
you've
feeling
got,
a
sir,
little bit squeamish about the narrative.
Well, what you've got is underdog. So this is where a story where someone who's underprivileged or in a poor position fights their way to the top and everyone's rooting for them. Unfortunately, what we wanted was a god. So,
I mean, you could make that work. So let's say, okay, let's say that when, so taking the idea of you're a god, you reach the age of 16, you are given your niche, you go, you cross your fingers and you go, please war, please war, please war, and you get given construction. Let's say that your childhood rival, okay, let's say, like in some pantheon, so both Athena and Ares are both gods of war in the Greek pantheon.
Yeah.
Let's say in this one, that's, another person is also selected. Let's say a childhood rival.
Similar to Pokemon's Red.
Is also selected as the other god of construction, and you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off.
Yes. So you get, let's say, I mean, you couldn't do it on the same building because obviously that wouldn't work. But let's say you start at different parts, in different parts of the world, and the other gods judge how well you're doing and how well you've done in comparison to the other. And then we could say that in the narrative in the past, this guy or girl who is your rival, has always been better than you, has always beaten you at everything. So then you start off as the underdog because no one expects you to be able to beat them, maybe.
Okay, so way we can do this... I like the rival.
I heard your idea, Scott. This is... we're going to discuss
it. I like the... Don't make me laugh, I cough. The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely, yes.
No. So I like the arrival idea. However, to make it work from a narrative perspective, how about we have this law built into the world where the world is actually cyclical. So things start again. After a certain period of time, the world resets and you start again. And the thing is there are generations of gods, and the generations of gods look after a period. Then when they get old and die, that starts the new cycle and new generation of gods take over, which is where Brian, the god of construction, takes over, who we play as. Or Susan, the god of construction. It can be a player. You can make the character. But the thing is, where as you were building, you are being compared to the previous god, who literally, because you are redoing the cycle, you have to build the same things he built.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But through the technologies of the gods, they're able to show you how this person built it. Now, to add an extra layer of complexity to the narrative, you're being shown these through through sort of holograms. That's the word I was trying to say. You get shown these holograms, and you can see that the gods like doing really well. And as it starts off, he does better than you as you advance through levels, and your character. And the story is your character's getting upset, but then you realize that god, the previous god, actually ends up communicating with you, like looking, starts making eye contact with you and talking to you. And you go, hang on, this is a hologram. This doesn't make any sense.
Mm.
So what you start to realize is the previous generation of gods realized that they were going to pass away. They were going to die off and kill the cycle. And they wanted to break the cycle. They didn't want to die. So they left their past histories. And the connection is that if they can start a new cycle themselves before your gods naturally begin a new cycle, they will return and reign supreme, which is why the old god is actually trying to build as quickly as possible. Because if he builds really quickly, he will restart the cycle quicker. Because by getting to the end of human history, he resets the world and the cycle starts again. So your character realizes this, and it becomes essentially a race to advance the human race as quickly as possible to stop the old gods from coming back.
Ah. Okay.
I don't know where that came from.
No, I like it. I like it. I think that would work. It's very
it's a bit Assassin's Creed-y in terms of the lore.
Yeah.
But I kind of like the sort of hologram. I like the idea of. Do you remember the best moment of Assassin's Creed is where at the end of Assassin's Creed 2, spoilers for the 20-year-old game or whatever it is where she directly communicates with the player through the screen.
Yes.
And I want that feeling, essentially being like, hang on, they're talking to me.
Yeah. I remember that, and it took me a moment. And I was like, hang on a minute.
Hang on. My name's Scott.
hang on just a second. Yeah. I think that could work. I think that would be quite interesting. And I don't think when you start the game, I don't think that you would expect that to happen.
No, I don't think you hint towards it at all. And then you start, the whole point is you start it as a basic construction game, and then the sort of twist starts to go in and you realize, hang on, these holograms that I've been told they're putting together, they seem quite real, or they seem to be advancing. And you can have these little moments where you get told, in a cutscene, you get told you have to go off and build the Sphinx, for example, or something like that. And you get there and it's already done. And you go, hang on, I was just told to go and build that. What do you mean it's already done? And then when you ask, they go, oh, the god of construction, Susan, just came through and she sorted that out for us. And then you go, Susan's been dead for 400 years.
All right. I quite like it.
I think that, I think that would work.
Have we gotten a bit, have we drifted from the open world element of it a bit?
Ooh, we might have done. But the idea was, okay. But then the idea was you had to go and get the materials, didn't you, from where they came from, literally in real life. As you said, if you were doing Stonehenge, you'd have to go back to Wales. And if you were, I don't know, I can't think of any other examples, but you know what I mean.
Are we doing as part of this that you've also got to get those materials in?
Yes, I think you do, because I think there's a large part of it which is really cool, which is the way that they literally got the physical things to them. You can do shortcuts. So, for example, if you know it needs to come by boat, if you have unlocked, let's say that boats are an unlock, if you have unlocked boats, all you need to do is go and source it, find out where it is, plot the route for the boats, and then that gets them there. But you still need to have all the equipment.
Are we saying that, let's say they're doing the Parthenon, let's say,
okay,
and they need lots of marble. Are we saying they need to go and figure out how to mine the marble, basically?
Yes, well, because mining the marble...
You know what I mean?
Yes, and also it would be an unlock in terms of how do you refine that marble and how do you put sculptures into that marble, because there's so many sculptures. Mm-hmm. So you'd have to unlock the sculpture mechanic. It doesn't have to be like... You don't have to do it. You just have to have unlocked it by doing something well. And maybe the challenge is you have to have built the pyramid in X amount of time to unlock this. And therefore there's more reason you go, I need to rebuild that again. How quickly can I get all these pieces together to pass the level?
I suppose there's a few logical things in there as well. You could throw in like once you acquire the marble from the quarry, do you sculpt the marble?
Yes, that would depend on how many boats you need.
Place it's going to be and then sculpt it. Because then if you do it the first time, you're like, oh, hang on, it broke in transit. Okay. Okay. Lesson learned. Let's take it to...
How many shopping bags do you have? I don't have many. Well, I've cut it all up. We're in trouble.
Yeah. I like it.
I also, with the open world, one way we can also confirm is you don't get told what you need to do. So you just get let loose and you just said, these are X amount of contracts, things that need to be built in the early game. And then more unlock as you go through, but you'll kind of get funneled towards certain ones by what things you unlock. Say if you do I keep going back to the pyramids because it's the only thing in my brain at the moment. But say if you do the pyramids and you unlock something that works for marble cutting, then you might think, great, I can go do the Parthenon now. But you might unlock something that's great for steel working. So decide to go off and do something else. So that's where the open world comes in. And I don't think it should be too difficult to implement our plot over that, because our plot's meant to be a bit of a mystery plot.
And I think outside of, say, like a tutorial, probably do as little hand holding as possible. You get the tutorial to learn how the basics work. And then
the tutorial could be quite funny as well, where it's like, you are to live on Earth, build yourself a house, and it just keeps falling apart.
Yeah. No, do you want to do a summary and I will try and
Let's do a summary. So what we have come up with, ladies and gentlemen, is an open world game based on a physics system with crafting and with an underdog story. What we have created is a world where the human race lives for an X amount of time with its gods, and then when it reaches the end of civilization, the world resets, new gods are born, and the cycle begins anew, and then essentially the human race starts again. You play one of these gods. You play Barry/Susan, who is the god of construction. However, you've only just been given the job, so you've got to learn on the job. So you go down to Earth to learn with your fellow man. Well, not fellow man, you're a god. Learn with the men and women that are disgusting because you're a god. So you go down to learn with them and you build things for them. And as you build, you unlock more and more abilities and you can build more things, which advances the civilization, the human race, to therefore reach its end. But what you realize, the plot, you realize that the ancient gods are coming back. they seem to be building against you. They seem to be creating stuff, taking away your contracts because they want to break the cycle so they can come back and retake power, which would be awful for reasons that I didn't have a chance to go into. And this game, this wonderful building game, educational game, wonderful game, everyone's praising it already. It's already won Game of the Year 2030, is called...
So I've got three, and they're all quite different. So one of them...
Three seems to be the go. We seem to go with three, and then we seem to randomly go to end up with one like Steam Rally.
One of them is quite generic and towards sort of like gods. It's just called The Divines.
The Divines, okay.
Because it's all about the gods and all that stuff.
I'm not going to lie, Divines does sound like a 90s girl group.
There's nothing wrong with that.
The new single by The Divines.
The other one, based on the character that you are and your job as a god, I've got The Hammer God. Hammer.
The Hammer God.
Builder,
but these
builder.
All sound musical. The Hammer.
I don't
it's
see
Hammer Time.
Why don't you like musicals? And the last one is Builders of Divinity.
I like Builders of Divinity.
Okay.
You pulled it out the bag there. Builders
I did a
of Divinity.
Good one.
You did a good un.
I did a good
not gonna lie. Still used all the words of the thing.
I don't see what the problem is.
It's a game about builders and gods. Okay, I'm gonna call it Builders of Divinity.
It works though, it's a nice title.
It does, it's a good name.
Thank you very much.
Well done. So that was Builders of Divinity coming to all divine consoles near you. Maybe someone please pick this up. I need a job.
Don't we all?
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you've had a wonderful time listening to this as much as we have talking to you. And thank you so much again for listening. We really, really appreciate it. Please drop us a review or get in touch with us if you want to hear us do a challenge or set us a challenge or give us something you want us to create and see if we can make it up in our half an hour. In the meantime, I have been Matt.
And I have been Scott.
Have a wonderful week and keep blending, everyone. Bye.
Goodbye.